Good afternoon. We'll be studying the book of Jonah today. Our text is taken from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. And I shall read it for you. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And he said everyone to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the man rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let us pray. O Creator God, you have by wisdom made all the days, but this is your day, the heaven-ordained day of rest, the day of Christian worship. On this day, your redeemed people meet for worship. We bless you for the throne of grace where we may freely seek your face. We thank you that we have access to the blood of Jesus, and that we can enter into the holiest to hear what you have to teach us. Speak, Lord, of your word, your servants heareth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After telling the story of Jonah and the great fish to a Sunday school class, the teacher decided to quiz them. She asked, Timmy, what is the application of the story? Tim thought for a minute, then said, People make fishes throw up. Though the story of Jonah is easy to read, what aspects of it are sometimes hard to live out? God had big plans for Jonah, but he wasn't interested. He tried to run from God, but soon learned the futility of his attempt. I will explain in detail very soon. But as we are studying the book of Jonah for the first time, Before we look at Jonah's story, let us first look at Roman numeral 1, the man and his times. The man and his times. Jonah is one of the strangest books of the Bible in some ways. Jonah was a prophet, yet there is no prophecy in his book except one sentence he preached in Nineveh. The short sentence has only 8 words, 5 in the original Hebrew. He was a missionary, but he did not want to go to the mission field. He saw great revival, yet he was very unhappy that revival came about. Who was this man? When did he live? Was he for real? Jonah, whose name means dove, was the son of Amittai. The book of Jonah gives no other information about him. However, he is mentioned briefly in 3 other books of the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 25 is helpful in determining his town, tribe and date. Jonah's hometown was Gath-Hepha, a city in the tribal lands of Zebulun between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. Thus, he was from the northern kingdom of Israel. He prophesied in the days of Jeroboam II. This king ruled the northern kingdom of Israel from 793 to 753 BC. So we may place Jonah's date at about 775 BC. King Jeroboam II had a long and prosperous reign. He is noted as a great military leader who expanded the kingdom of Israel until it once more reached the size it had under David and Solomon. This period is known as the Golden Age of the Northern Kingdom. Jonah is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 12 verses 39 to 41 and chapter 16 verse 4 and Luke chapter 11 verses 29 to 32 where he serves as a type of Christ. The credence Christ gave to the account of Jonah shows that Jonah was a real historic person who was a prophet, a preacher, and a sign to the people of Nineveh. Now, let us look at the book of Jonah proper. Roman numeral 2, the call. The call. Jonah chapter 1 contrasts in several ways with Jonah chapter 2. In the first chapter, we have God's call to Jonah. In the second chapter, we have Jonah's call to God. In the first chapter, we find God's plan for his man. In the second chapter, we find a man's prayer to his God. In the first chapter, we see Jonah's rebellion. In the second chapter, we see Jonah's repentance. Now Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 to 2 reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." How did the word of the Lord come to Jonah? In his day, some of the Bible was already written. God may have spoken to Jonah in part through these early books, but most likely God's word came through an audible voice or by a vision or a dream, all common ways for God to speak to his prophets. God's call to Jonah was, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Chapter 1, verse 2. Jonah received a threefold command. He was to arise, to go, and to cry. God was sending Jonah to be a foreign missionary. God's will for our lives involves action. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to be active in his work. It is not enough that we simply learn Bible facts and figures. We need to apply biblical principles to our lives. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, a great city. Verse 2. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the largest and strongest empire in the Near East in Jonah's day. Nineveh was a massive city located on the east bank of the Tigris River. With its suburbs, it covered an area about 40 by 48 kilometers. At the center was a core city that measured 2.4 kilometers. This inner city had great protective walls, 30.5 meters high, 15 meters thick, and 13 kilometers in circumference. On the top of the walls were towers that reached upward another 30.5 meters. Nineveh was a populous city. Estimates of its population run as high as 600,000, including the suburbs. An inscription left by King Ashurnasirpal II states that about 70,000 of Nineveh's elite attended a dedication banquet at the king's palace. Jonah was to go and preach, cried in verse 2. Jonah was to go and preach against this great city. Why did God want Jonah to preach to Nineveh? Their wickedness had come up before God. Assyria was known as the cruelest of all ancient empires. The word wickedness of verse 2 could be used of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 verse 10. Cain was the world's first murderer. This word could also be used of Sodom in Genesis chapter 18. Sodom was known for its immorality and sexual perversion. Nineveh was associated with bloodshed and treachery. Nineveh had the philosophy that might makes right. It brutally maimed and mangled the smaller nations around it. Its wickedness had come up before God. Now God called Jonah to go preach judgment on Nineveh. How comfortable would you feel going to preach to a city as cruel as Nineveh? What might be some modern mission fields that might compare to Nineveh's cruelty? Roman numeral 3. Jonah's response. Jonah's response. Verse 3 gives Jonah's response to God's call. We might wish that he said, "So Jonah rose up to go into Nineveh." Instead, we read, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." Isn't that strange? Here was a prophet, a man of God, who knew that God was sovereign and who had just received a call from God. Yet he set out to disobey. What excuses might Jonah have given concerning the practicality of trying to preach to a great city? The city was too big to reach. He would never be heard. He would most likely be killed on the spot. We find it easy to be critical of Jonah, but we all have been as blatantly disobedient to God at some point in our lives. Jonah's disobedience just happens to be recorded in the scripture for us to read and study. Jonah went to Tarshish, a place archaeologists have yet to identify. Some Bible teachers think the city was in southern Spain, near the Rock of Gibraltar. Others feel it was on the western edge of the north coast of Africa. In either case, Nineveh was east and Tarshish was west. Jonah could not have gone more contrary to the will of God. What must Jonah have believed about God's will by so blatantly disregarding it? That following God's will was optional. Jonah believed he had a say in the matter? What must Jonah have believed about God by trying to run from him? That God was limited in his ability to track Jonah down. Jonah went to Joppa to catch a ship. Joppa was a seaport town about 80.5 kilometers from Jonah's hometown of Gath-Hefe. It is the modern city of Haifa, today the second largest city of Israel. Even in Jonah's day, it was a busy port. At Joppa, Jonah found a ship going to Tarshish. It might have been easy for Jonah to rationalize and say, "It is all right for me to go to Tarshish because here is a ship going to that place and it has room for an extra passenger." By the way, do circumstances always indicate God's will? No. Sometimes we are faced with great opportunities that are not part of God's will. An open door is always wrong to take when we are going through it to avoid what we know God wants us to do. Another question arises. Do circumstances ever indicate God's will? God indicates His will through His Word and His Spirit. We should never conclude that a circumstance in and of itself is an indication of God's will. For Jonah, circumstances were favorable for him to run from going to Nineveh. But God had told Jonah that His will for Jonah was to go to Nineveh. If we know from God's word that He wants us to do something, we should do it regardless of circumstances. Circumstances may be helpful in determining God's will for our lives, but circumstances never indicate His will if they are contrary to His word. Roman numeral 4. God's chastisement. God's chastisement. God is sovereign, and Jonah should have known he could not really run from God. Jonah chapter 1 verse 4 reads, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." The original language is very vivid here. God hurled a great wind unto the sea. The sailors did two things to alleviate the situation. On the one hand, they unloaded the cargo to lighten the ship and keep it from sinking. Verse 5. They wanted it to ride higher in the water so that the waves would not dump so much water into the ship. This action was expensive. It meant the cargo was irretrievably lost. The other thing the sailors did was to call upon their gods. Verse 5 again. They were pagans, but they were religious. They cried each man to his god, but it was all to no avail, for their gods were helpless idols. The captain of the ship finally roused Jonah and told him to attend the prayer meeting. The captain realized that the gods of the sailors were helpless, and he thought Jonah's God might be able to help. Jonah chapter 1 verse 6 reads, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not.'" Why didn't Jonah immediately begin calling out to God? Jonah wasn't on praying grounds. His disobedience broke his fellowship with God. He knew God would ask him to go to Nineveh again, and he wasn't interested in hearing that request again. When Jonah arrived on deck, the sailors cast lots to determine who the cause of the storm was. Casting lots is ordinarily a thing of chance. But here God intervened and saw to it that the Lord fell on Jonah. So suddenly all eyes were fixed on him. The men then asked him to give an account of himself. Notice the irony of this situation. Jonah was in this position because he refused to preach to pagans. But now, in spite of himself, he was about to do precisely that. God was going to show that his purposes will always be accomplished, even if it need be, by one who is obstinately disobedient. Jonah told them about his nationality and his God. He also told them to throw him into the sea. The sailors tried to go back to shore, but were unable to make it. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Chapter 1, verse 15. What could Jonah have done to stop the storm instead of asking the sailors to throw him overboard? Jonah could have stopped the storm by submitting to God's will. What did Jonah show about his attitude toward both God and the people of Nineveh by choosing suicide? Jonah showed that he despised God's call on his life and that he would care less for the people of Nineveh. He wanted nothing to do with obeying God. The sailors understood the seriousness of the situation. By offering sacrifices to God, they showed at least a sensitivity toward him and compassion for people. Verse 16. Lastly, we come to verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Though Jonah was rebelling against God, God cared enough about Jonah to prepare a great fish to provide a place for Jonah. God's plan for Jonah was not to perish in the sea, but to preach in the city. Scoffers have mocked at the idea of Jonah's being swallowed by a fish and surviving the ordeal. One American liberal missionary was reported as saying in his sermon, "If you can believe the great fish swallowed Jonah, then you can also believe Jonah swallowed the great fish." To him, Jonah is a myth and a fairy tale. At best, he is only an allegory. There is no room for myth or allegory about the prophet's testimony, as liberal commentators allege or insinuate. It could be pointed out that there are cases where this has happened. However, the answer to objections is that this was a miracle performed by an omnipotent creator. Ordinarily, Jonah would have been digested and absorbed into the fish's system. The man and his times. The call. Jonah's response. And God's chastisement. Obedience to the word of God is the best guarantee for us to survive the incessant trials and temptations that relentlessly assail us. That is probably one of the reasons why David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 60, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." David also wrote in Psalm 119, verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Many of the commandments in the Bible are precepts. They are so clear or explicit that we need not ask whether we should obey them or not. Christians sometimes ask questions like, "Should I get baptized?" or "Should I attend church?" And yet the scripture is explicit in such matters. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says that to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. On baptism, Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. On church attendance, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Not only do we have precepts in the Bible, we also have principles. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. We may not find thou shalt not smoke or thou shalt not take drugs in the Bible, but there are principles laid down in the scriptures that forbid the act of destroying our body, which is the temple of God. Besides, all these indulgences give us the appearance of evil or an identification with this evil world. The precepts and the principles. But let us not forget the personal commandments. Again, Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. God gave Jonah a personal commandment to warn the people of Nineveh of the coming judgment. When Jonah refused and ran away from the Lord, he sinned against him. Jonah's contemporaries were not judged for not pronouncing judgment on Nineveh. God did not call them. Only Jonah was judged and punished for his disobedience to the personal call of God. We may not have violated the clear commandments or principles of God's word, but we can still sin against him in the things he has commanded us individually to do. For some, it may be the Spirit's call to the mission field. For others, it may be the Spirit's call to certain ministries within the local church, teaching in a Sunday school, visiting the sick, or giving sacrificially to the work of the Lord. When we refuse the personal leading of the Lord for us, we sin against him. Do you have a secret list of ministries you hope God never calls you to? Have you ever tried to resist God's calling on your life? If so, what happened as a result? Jonah found submitting to God's will difficult to do. His failed attempt to run from God serves to remind us of our need to willingly make ourselves available to be used by God. Let's pray.